On page Kuflam Nalef, we're learning Ba'imakir about the morale, the morale's derech in Tamei HaMitzvahs, and his explanation of this Chazal, where there was a guy who asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai regarding the Inyan of the Eifer, of the ashes of the Paraduma, whether this, how could it work, and it seems like it's Kishif, it seems like it's something which is ridiculous. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's response to him was that it has some sort of natural curative powers to ward off Tumah and to bring Tahara. But then the students asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that that was for them, but what's the truth, what's the emes? So the morale then, of course, goes into this whole discussion that we've been talking about the last few weeks, where the morale explains and the morale tells us that the Inyan of Torah Mitzvahs is not a Dovah Tivi. It's not something which is, it's not something which is, which is there, which is given to us by Kadosh Baruch Hu to respond to the needs, to the physical, emotional needs of a human being. But it's the tachlis of the Briyas, the Seder HaSichli, and man responds to Kadosh Baruch Hu's, to Kadosh Baruch Hu's world, not that Kadosh Baruch Hu responds and reacts to man's world. So we had started actually this paragraph. Let's just go over it again. Haperishu, kakol mitzad haseidus shnos na shemes baruch lona mitzvah sichlus mischayev kach ubishvil kach hameis matamil ha'adam v'hamayim matarmelov. That there isn't some sort of a magical power that water can remove tuma and that death brings tuma. V'akol mechayev achoch mi ha'atayri shnos na shemes baruch la'adam. But that this should be something which is b'derech hateva, dov is a eino. It's simply not the case. Rakikach haseidah shel Hashem yisbarach l'odom b'chachmosu mitzad achok. Next page, shu shayach l'odom hameis metamei v'amayim metarim. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was talking about to the Talmidim. He was explaining that tum and tahara is not something which exists b'chlal in the natural world. If you look at footnote 29, where here we have a little bit of a taste of what Tum and Tahara really, really are about, in the writings of the Maral, Vaidais Tumas Meis, Re'ei Dvarv Behespet. So the Maral writes in his Hespet, She'erich Levar Shat Tzadik Nes'alam Ha'oid Ha'idei Misasa. That when the Tzadik dies, he achieves a much greater level. Because that frees him from the chains of physical life. Now this obviously creates some sort of a kasha. The question is that if we believe, and we've been told in a thousand places, that upon his death the tzaddik achieves a greater level of existence, and that something extraordinary happens upon the death of the tzaddik, so we would expect that it should not create, that certainly when it comes to the death of a tzaddik, it should not create misa. And there is such a concept of the body of a tzaddik not being metame. But the what seems to be the paradox between the tahara, the immense purification that the tzaddik achieves upon death, and the reality of the tumah that he leaves in his wake, as the Maral explains, bizar loshen. Ach yesh lishol kim noy mekamis el ha'adam ein ze p'chises v'chisar n'ayla rak shavach ul tzadik. We see that when the tzadik dies, death itself is not something which diminishes the tzadik. It's not something which should bring tumah. It doesn't seem to make sense. If the whole inyan of tumah, if the definition of tumah is that something disgusting has taken place, there's a p'chisis or a chisar maila, it can't be rach shavach ila tzadik. Im kein lama hames metame, And not only that, the Gemara discusses in Hamakabel and Bav Metzia, I'm not going into the halacha right now, but it's davka, really, really, the misa of a Jew, the tumah that results from the misa of a Jew, is unique. It's unique. And you would say that L'chari should be just the opposite. A Jew is an exalted being. I can understand if you tell me that maybe we understand that a behemoth is metame. You understand that a non-Jew, that there could be tumah. But why is it that the death of a Jew brings tumah? The death of a tzaddik, how could it be? So he says, ki loy machmas hachisorin sheesh b'meisu metame. The morale holds that the tumah that comes as the result of death is not because of a chisorin that takes place. It's not because there's a chisorin in the mace. Aval atumahu lemeis, ki hanefesh sheyotza min hameis, hu nivdal min hachayim. The morale explains that tumah is the result of the separation that takes place. Ki hanefesh, he says, sheyotza min hameis, hu nivdal min hachayim. That once the nefesh has left, once the soul has left this body, then that tzaduk, that person, is no longer in the same rishus as he was before. He's now entered into a different realm, into a different rishus. In other words, we now have two rishuyas that are contradicting each other. There's the rishus, there's the domain of this world, and then there's the conflicting domain of the other world. So the morale says it's this paradox that creates tumah. Ve'ein ha'chayim im ha'meisim b'mechitz achas. Life and death cannot coexist. Life and death cannot coexist. V'chol asher karev el hadover shehu nivdal umaruchak min ha'olam. Therefore, since this world is a world of life as we know it in olam hazeh. And when a person dies, he's now in a different rishus. He's entered into a different domain of existence. It's not of this world. So the morale says that when a person in this physical world comes into contact with death, what's taking place is that it's sort of a visit to the twilight zone, lahavdil. But the twilight zone here means that there is a jarring experience of a person who's meshubit to the physical world, who is leaving the rishus of this world, and who is not, obviously he's not in the next world, because he's alive. He can't be in the next world. So the experience of coming to contact with death is on some level a distortion of this world, but it's not quite entering into, you can't enter into the next world. It's that no man's land. It's that nishtahin nishtaher. It's that stira, that contradiction that the morale says creates an emptiness that's called tumah, not being here and not being there.
What about the ma'il?
About
the ma'il ilam hava, the shepherding son of ilam hava. That's not. We're talking about the void.
We will have to understand more what that means. That the Indian of Me'en Olam Shabbos means Me'en Olam Haba. When a person comes into contact with that which is separate from this world, which means a dead body, which is no longer of this world. Humakabal tumma, that creates a state of tumma. It's not something which is medical. It's not something which is scientific. V'nasim eruchak min habriyas. He becomes a little bit of a bar minan himself. In other words, he becomes distant from this world. And is that distance, like a person who's, like we see by the tzaras, b'chutz teishev, he has to leave. The Indian of tumma means Meruchak min habriyas, meruchak min hayishiv. It means einam min hayishiv. It means you're no longer part of the domain of this world. And because of that, by the person coming to contact with death, he distances himself from life in habriyas. K'moshu osa shekirv el dover shu rochak v'nivdom min ha'ilam v'lachein hu misrachi gamkein. He is attached to, and he's associating himself on some level with a form of existence that is no longer of this world. And it's that vacuum that creates the tumah. Shein ha-tumah rak mitzad shehu meruchak. That's the distance. That's the tumah. Ulekach mekabel tumah v'nasa meruchak. Mitzad hazeh ha-meis metameh. Vein zeh chisar klal b'meis. It's not because there's something that's inherently deficient in the dead person, that something has happened to him, that he's been darkened or that he's been defiled in some way. It's that the person of this world who comes into contact with that state of the next world, that brings tumah. Sha'ameis nivdo menachayim umaruchet mehem. Now, obviously, we would need to discuss all different types of tumah and how tumah exists and the different levels of tumah, what that means and how they fit into this morale. But the reason that he brings this in the note is very clear. That the point here is that, like he says on top, that it's not something which is medical or scientific or natural, that the mace is metame and the mayim are metaharim. Or Ibnei Kach, back on top.
In terms of the question, the fact that there's an aliyah for the tzaddik, or for, I guess just for tzaddik when he dies, that can't, it's the guf that has the tumah. The tzaddik with the aliyah isn't necessary.
But that's why...
Isn't that more reason why there should be tumah in the guf? That separation, I don't think that's what the moral is saying.
Well, the moral in other places seems to be saying that. In other words, it's not the tzaddik himself is certainly not lowered, but what's happening here is that now we have something that's left behind. That's meruchak,
right.
And that's distant. That, in other words, that also is, that's an amazing paradox, that here you had something which a moment ago contained the soul of a tzaddik, and the moment later is
what he's saying.
Right, but he does say that in other places. He does talk about that in other places. But the yisoid is the same yisoid. That it's not chas v'shalom that there's a tumah to the tzaddik. The tzaddik neshama is flying. It's not that there's a tumah that's overcome, because in the non-Jewish world, that's exactly how it was viewed. It's not that there's a tumah in the tzaddik. It's not that there's a tumah b'chlal in the Jew. And that's the pella. That really the fact that we don't have the same level of tumah by an akum, right, by a non-Jew, that itself tells us what? The contrast isn't as great. That's the point. In other words, the contrast isn't as great. The fact that when the Jew dies, there is that extreme life of the other world that he enters into. Because of that, that establishes the paradox of a body that's left in this world, while there's a soul that's soaring into another domain. And those two reshuyas, in between those two reshuyas, that's where tumah sets in. But by the non-Jew, where the soul does not take off in such a way, that type of a conflict is not set into motion. On that level, it's not set into motion. Because the contrast between the living Akum and the Akum who is not alive is not that great.
Can you just remind us, what's the difference between a tumah the Jew and a tumah of an Akum? What level is the
again?
Higher?
The Gemara in Hamakabel is where Elianovi is found in the Beis HaKvar, is found in a cemetery.
Right.
So the question is, how could that be? So the Amayur who met him said, how could that be? Eliyahu is a Kohen, right? Eliyahu is a Kohen because Pinchas is Eliyahu. Pinchas is Eliyahu. So how could that be? So in that sugi in Hamakabel and Bava Metzia, the discussion is between Tumah Daraisa and Tumah Darabanan and the nature of the Tumah of an Akum and the lower degree of Tumah that's not the Daraisa of a Jew that's Matame and the Tumah Smeis and all that the Tumah Smeis can cause. That's how Leonovi could that cemetery was a non-Jewish cemetery. It was a non-Jewish cemetery. The Muslims built a cemetery right outside the wall of the old city, and I once read that the point of that was to prevent Eliyahu HaNavi from coming to Yerushalayim, since they knew they had a kabbalah that Eliyahu HaNavi was a kohen. So this was their way of preventing Eliyahu HaNavi from entering into the walls of the city. but that's the joke. That's the joke. Yeah.
Doesn't it make more sense that the body's here when the shamans are, because, you know, beyond this world, if it's more in this world versus we who are alive, and that clash? In other words, the body belongs in this world, that and the shaman, and the shaman itself is
Porchnius.
is where it belongs. So it doesn't make more sense for it to be that way. Isn't that more of a, less of a stira than us walking around?
No, but that's an achadabi. But when you are in the same room as a mace, that experience of coming into contact, that's what Maral was saying, that when you're in the same room and you come into contact with that which is meruchak minha, you are distancing yourself from what? You're distancing yourself from minha briyas. It's that separation, it's that distance that creates the tumah.
Isn't that closer to what we... To being on earth than anything else?
Yeah, we're living beings, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in such a way where for whatever reason Hashem Yisroch has brought the neshama and the guf together, and as long as the neshama and the guf are together, so we are able to coexist with others who are existing in that same state. But when it's not a zivig between one of the living, who's the state of the Vayitzah Hashem Elokim, which is a Yitzir of this world and a Yitzir of the next world that are joined together in this world, as opposed to a mace, who's already not of this world, is already Bar Minan, but there's a complete and total separation between the Neshama and the Guf. So, back on top. Therefore, the Maral says that it is there's no point in trying to get to the bottom of this, trying to understand, because I'm like miyim tsa'enu kein ha-Torah tivis. You can't explain the Torah with scientific formulas. Shido haisa ha-Torah tivis haiz akasha ma'inyin etum of ha-Torah. Look at footnote 31. If the Torah was supposed to be something which is which is, as we see in the Rambam in many places, the Torah was a book for healthy living with the master of the world who knows the secret of all life, is giving us a guideline to lead a healthy life. So the Bechlal Tum and Torah don't make any sense. In footnote 31, he brings from Rav Huttner, HaMilchama ben Koyches HaKedusha VaTumah. The war that takes place, this struggle that takes place between the koyches of kedusha and tumah, he milchama shlo metzina b'teva dugmasa. In teva, there is no struggle between the holy and the impure. There is no such struggle that's taking place in nature. Shekein ein b'seich ha-teva lo kedusha v'lo tumah. In nature itself, there's no such thing as kedusha, as holiness. That's why, as I've mentioned many times, and I at the end last week, we were talking a little bit about this. Remember, at the end, we discussed a little bit one of the questions about how to talk to the children about things that are on television and so on to develop a sensitivity to kedusha. See, kedusha is not something which exists in the realm of human awareness. So you could say to your children all the time that this is tameh, tumah, and you say that you'll do this, you'll be halig, you'll do this, you'll be kodesh, you'll be tahor. But like there was a friend of mine who told me that. That his son turned around when he was around 16 or something like that, and he asked his father, "What exactly do you mean by that all the time?" Like the kid actually asked, "What exactly do you mean by heilig? Das heilige. What does it mean to be holy?" So, then the father said, "Okay, it's one of those Rashi's that you remember Kedoshim to you." You pull out that Rashi, and you say, "Well, it means not to watch television," but because that's Prushim and Arayis, right? So you tell him it means not to watch television. So the kid is looking for the pnimius to understand what is it. I mean, you tell me that it means that I can't be a kaddish if I'm a chuber, if I'm attached to certain things. I understand, and therefore, you will only find kedusha where there's detachment from certain things. That's where I'll find kedusha. Good. So what is it when I find it? Like, now you're telling me how I... So is that what kedusha means? Kedusha is just what? Sur meira? Is there any positive value to kedusha? Does kedusha, does holiness mean something positive? What does it mean? So lemaisa, since kedusha and tumah and tahara are not part of this world. It's not an inyan that exists in science. It's not something that exists in math. It's something that is not of this world. It has to do with a chayk, with a seder hasichli that Hashem has established, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was koveya in the Bria, and we adapt our lifestyles to accommodate the Ratzon Hashem. We adapt our lifestyles so the Kohen has to know where not to go, and a regular Jew has to be careful with this, another person to be careful with that, and you have all the halachas of Tum and Tahar. So,
should be saying that everything's really chukah chakati or not?
Everything.
Seriously.
Ultimately.
I'm saying.
All the that's the moral shita. All the explanations, that's wonderful. But the bottom line is, gzeir gazarti choy chakakti vein lechem reshus lahar rachra. As he explains now more. Kena teretivis, shilo hayat haisa teretivis, hayisa kasha ma'inina tumma v'tahara b'chlal. If you tell me that the Torah is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, and now that we have man, there are certain things that are bad for him, right? Like the Rambam says that Chazir is bad for you. Or there are other things that are bad, either physically or emotionally. Remember we learned, we were talking about this last week, that those of the Rishon, those of the Kadmonim that say that that there are birds, and the reason for those birds that are not, that are Tmeim, why, is because there's Nachzarius, there's a certain cruelty in those birds. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that as a result of eating those birds, it will have an effect upon us emotionally, that it will what? It'll desensitize us and will create, it will make us more likely to be chalila, to be cruel. So therefore, that way of looking at the Torah says Hashem responds to this need of a human being to be kind and to be good. And he says, Kindlech, don't eat those things, because if you do, they'll have that kind of impact upon you. So the Maral says, Chas v'sholom, that's not bechlal, that's not what it means to be a Jew. That's not what it means to be a Jew. What it means to be a Jew is that there's a Seder, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is kovei in the Bria. And it's something which is in the highest idleness. It's something which transcends this world and we can't possibly understand. And it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees a human being in this state and he rescues us physically and emotionally from those things that can harm us. So we learn, that's fakir, that those things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was koveya and nebriya, that we have to do, and those things that Hashem fixed into creation that we mustn't do, it's because of Hashem's will to either do or not to do that those things can either have a good effect upon us or a negative impact upon us. Not the opposite way. Right? That's what we learned last week. It's not that Hashem is responding to man's needs. It's that this world reacts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. This world is the unfolding of Hashem's Torah. That's what we learned. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into Torah and created the world. That means that it can taka be. That tumma, or coming into contact, let's say, with that type of tumma, with the highest level of tumma, which is death, that kind of an experience can be a depressing experience. And a chenana. It could be depressing. And the Ener of Soloveitchik has beautiful, beautiful drushes about that. About how the experience of death it brings a loathing to a person, and a person, and part of avelus, part of mourning, lo aleinu, that experience of mourning contains within it a certain sense of loathing for life. And a person gives up on life, and he becomes depressed. There's a certain depression. But the reason that death or coming into contact with death has that emotional impact, has that emotional effect, besides obviously the feeling of loss and so on, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was koveya death and was koveya tumah and fixed into the world in such a way, and as a result of what death means, as a result of what tumah is, that's why a person feels emotionally affected by it. And he feels that kind of, that he feels a certain sense of tumah. I will aim at davativi klal, but who say the sichli? V'im ki einu yodeya v'einu meivin inyan achayk hazeh. Even the person doesn't understand what this. Why is that? What does it mean? Tumah tahara. Halo atarlo nitnarak l'tzayif habriyus. That's the point the Maral's been making these last two prokim. Is that ultimately the tachlis of Torah is to be mitzayif habriyus, and to be mitzayif habriyus means that to bring a person to a state of dveikus, of attachment to Hashem, that as we learned in that maimer that we were learning a few weeks ago from the Rebbe Rashab, from Lubavitch, is that itself is the tachlis, that dveikus is the tachlis of being a Jew. Rabban Layeda. Whether you know that or whether you feel it, that's really, it's inconsequential, whether you feel it happening to you. You may not feel it happening to you at all. In other words, you could be the kind of a person that coming to contact with a dead person doesn't make you feel in the least bit defiled or dirty or polluted or uncomfortable. You have no problem with it at all. It doesn't bother you at all. That wouldn't change the reality of tumah. It doesn't change the mitzvah of tumah. The same way that, let's say, you're the nicest guy in the world. You're the nicest guy. So you make a cheshbon that all of these, this Indian is not eating certain types of birds. It's because why? Or certain types of animals, is because that animal has a nature that's an achzori. It's cruel. Everybody tells me I'm mamish, the nicest guy in the world. Everybody knows I couldn't hurt a fly. I couldn't do anything. So for me, I don't see any problem with having a piece of chaza. I don't see any problem with having an oif tameh. You know why? Because my natural goodness will not be harmed by that meichel, by that food. My goodness is not going to be affected by it. That's not true. I mean, that's true. You might not be affected by it. You might be the same nice guy after you ate the cheeseburger. You might be the same nice guy after you did any of that. You could be the same nice guy. And you say, there you go. There you go. You see, I wasn't hit by a bolt of lightning. Nothing happened. All my life I'm afraid, Tir and Yom Kippur. And I did it, and now I'm fine. I'm fine. My stomach is fine. I feel okay. And here my parents, my grandparents told me that I'm gonna drop dead on the spot. I'm feeling better than I ever had before. That's how you feel. It's not totally on that. The mitzias is that a terrible separation has taken place between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether you feel it or you don't feel it, a terrible separation has taken place. And tshuva means to return to that state of tevekis. And the state of tevekis can only be achieved by being the shubah to the Ratzon Hashem, regardless of whether you understand it or not. Because this is the mitzias, this is the chayk. Rakasher ma'isef hem nimshochem achra seder ha-sichli. When a Jew's actions are aligned with what? With the seder ha-sichli. With that seder ha-sichli. Masheroi lo, as befits a Jew. U'bezem ma'isef k'mo sheroi lefi ha-sichli. Hu v'hu tziru v'zikuch nafsho min ha-tivi k'mo sheshbor. That those acts themselves of Torah mitzvahs are themselves godly and bring to a state of dveikus, regardless of how you feel. Whether you know the time or you don't know the time.
That implies, again, the time, which is the higher level.
Again,
Behemoth, back to the time.
The highest level is, there's no question, and we've learned this before, there's no question, the Maral agrees, that there's a tesefis for a person understanding and deepening his awareness and so on, his appreciation. There's no question about it. But what is the highest madrega? The highest madrega is behemus hayisi imach, is kabbalas al malchus shemayim. In other words, that's what motivates me to keep the mitzvah. Once I'm motivated to keep the mitzvah because of what? Behemus hayisi, amamish behemah, and the bunch, whatever you tell me to do, I do. Once, in other words, that is the rationale for doing the mitzvah. Behemus hayisi imach. From then on, kolamaisif, kolamarba, harezim meshubach. From then on, it's a tesefis. But if my life as a Jew is to wonder, to question, to understand, what compels me to keep this mitzvah? I need a compelling reason. I need someone to explain to me. I looked at Rav Hirsch. By the way, it's his yard site tonight. I looked at Rav Hirsch, and you know, it's beautiful, but it doesn't grab me. So maybe the Rambam has something to say, or somewhere else. If your tam hamitzvah is the tam, the reason for your doing the mitzvah, that's.
What was the guy's kasha on the original?
With the paraduma?
Yeah. Was it, why are you doing this, or what? This is what we were asking last week a little bit also.
Right.
The kasha on the tum on the tara. So based on Parah 29, so there could have been a terrorist to the tumah question. It's not hocus pocus when you touch a dead body, but rather it's the people or the rechuk that's going on. That could have been a terrorist.
Right, but that terrorist. But Moshe, but that terrorist. that teretz is not understood api chukei hateva. In other words, and the guy who's meshubah to the Sheva Mitzvahs, and maybe he was a scientist or a professor.
Right, so I'm saying, but for the Talmidim then.
No, for the Talmidim.
That could have been, and for the, what's the Teretz of the Talmidim? Is the Teretz Hara 29, or is the Teretz?
The Teretz is, when the Moral, what the Moral is saying in Hara 29, where he's telling us, there that Tumah is not something which is physical, it's not something which is medical, scientific, but it's something which exists in the spiritual realm. It's the same teretz. In other words, that's not the tam, that's not the reason,
right,
either.
That wasn't the kasha. Wasn't the kasha, was it?
What do you mean?
The guy's kasha and the teretz to the guy's kasha that he gave to the Talmud. The guy's kasha was why.
No, he could have said this. He could have said to the Talmud, and he did, and he does, because he's a rabbi. And he probably sat down with him and learned the Maral. Of course, he didn't learn the Maral. He learned the Yisoid, right? And that's why we're in yeshiva, and that's why we're learning. And certainly he learned that with them. And certainly they were talking about these in Yonim and trying to understand. But the question is, why is it that I observe this? That's what the Maral's talking about here. And Hachinami. But the point is, in footnote 29, and what we'll be learning, is that it's not a Tam Tivi. Is it a Tam Ruchni? Is it a tam ruchni? It's a mitzias in ruach. It's a reality in Torah. And we're trying to understand this reality. We're not trying to say that, no, there isn't any transcendent reality, and there are certain acts that I have to do because they're better for me in this world.
In the Maharaj thing, is there a chilek between paraduma and tumas meis? In the sense that whatever it means that Shlomo Melech couldn't figure out paraduma, but tumas meis, we have some kind of inkling to what it is?
Yeah, well, the Maral in his discussions of Paraduma, the Maral also speaks about, I mean, there's a different Mahalach, but it definitely is connected to this Mahalach. So even though Shlomo Melech says that it's something which is a Chamer V'Charkim Memeni, that it's not possible for the human mind to grasp, everything begins with that. And the Maral begins with that as well. Nevertheless, Rashi brings from Abed Moshe Hadash, that's where we begin to learn in yeshiva. That's our discussions. That's to connect us more on a deeper level. That we should have more of a shaychus, more of a kesha. But as far as why is it that I keep this? It's not from this world.
That's only mitzvah the person who's searching himself. Mitzvah echet, tefiyat, and mitzvah and hadracha and all of those things. This doesn't really fly.
Right.
I'm saying the guy. I'm not saying you said it, I'm saying how does one work?
How do you appeal to another person who's far away?
Somebody says, I don't feel it. So the
yeah, avada. We spoke about that. You have to be very careful. So, and you're not tricking the person because it's all part of Torah. One of the worst subjects to talk about, this is one of the first times I spoke publicly. This goes back a long time. I spoke in shul a few times. When I was first married, I had to give a talk at NYU. They had this like a Kira group by NYU, and it was in Washington Square in the park. It was outdoors, and you know, I mean, you're not quite sure what kind of birius altogether are passing by and sitting there. Forget whether it's a Jew, it's not a Jew, whether b'chalal it's a human being or not a human being. It's off in the cave. I mean, it's hard to know what you're talking to over there. So I don't know, but they wanted to make this thing. And I was talking, and the worst subject you could talk about is they wanted me to talk about kashrus. It's the worst thing to talk about baratim, the meaning of kashrus. And so I prepared this whole thing, you know. I was all excited, and I went through all the makaris, and I had this whole, you know, with all different swarm and working my way from the chazals and the, you know, through the achronim and this and that. It was gevaldik. Prepared the whole thing, and to give this whole. And there was people. There were a lot of people that were interested, and they're standing around and on the benches, and the frisbees throwing frisbees, and and there's this like one guy. There's this one guy that everything that I said, he was like, you know, he was the shlugger, and he was a Jew, you know. Everything is to against Kenegan. So then I said, at the end. So he wasn't convinced by anything that I had said about Kashrus. He wasn't convinced. So he was very, you know, he said, I don't see this at all. I don't get this at all. So, I said, I would never say this now. But I said, well, you know, it was like this whole tense thing. So I said that, look, I remember what his name was, whatever his name, let's say, you know, Kenny. So listen, Kenny, the bottom line is that if you don't do this, you're going to drop dead. So everybody went, what? So they like, you know, couldn't believe I said such a thing. And he said, yeah, you're going to drop. He still have to live. He said, what do you mean? I have right in my bag. I have something. I have a piece of ham. I don't drop dead. So I explained to him, I spoke to him about the morale. And I said I didn't mean God forbid that you're gonna croak, you know, you're gonna fall off the bench or something onto the floor. I don't mean your physical, scientific, natural life support systems. I'm talking about that those cells inside of you that make you a Jew are being hurt, are dying, with every single drop of that sandwich that you're putting into your mouth. There's something inside of you that's being hurt. It's being hurt. Because why? Because the life of all life and the essence of all life is Dveichi Yaakov, means Dveikus Hashem. And that's why Satani talks about Negeres HaTshuva that the Inyan of Karis, it's a frightening thing. A person can be walking in this world and he's breathing and he's functioning and he might even be the president or an executive in a corporation. And he's got 10,000 people who listen to him. But in Pnimius, he's a Bar Minan. He's no longer in existence. And we spoke about that a little bit with the Na'arist or with Basia 2 weeks ago. It's a non-existence. Why? Because dropping dead takes place on different levels. The final stage of dropping dead is in Svantik in this world. But there could be thousands and hundreds of thousands of times that a person drops dead while he's still in this world. And that's the detachment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And obviously, without the Emunah, it's impossible. That's the Lashon of Emunah. And if a person doesn't have that Emunah, that there exists something that you can't see. If a person doesn't have that Emunah, then you could give all the reasons in all the Svarim, and it's not going to change a person's life. Kiyuzah. But when you're dealing with, you see, that's one of the reasons why, just since you asked that, Nussi, you mentioned it. Like, let me put it this way. You'll never catch me, like, giving lectures proving God's existence. You'll never catch Weinberg doing that. I begin with assume one God. And then after that, I schmooze. But I studied that stuff. I studied it, and I wrote papers in it. And I hated it. Even though I got a chance to learn also Svar Makadoshim, you know, I mean, from the Kadmainu and saying Yishayna, but that requires a certain, it's a different mahalach, and it's true. You see, ultimately, let's say you take a Jew and you bring him to a discovery seminar, and you take out all the best stuff, and you show him that in the Torah it says that there's going to be an Eichmann and a Hitler. And then it says you take 50 jumps and 25 stops and you make another this and you do there and everybody says, they go, wow, it says George Washington and it says July 4th and it says like you know, and then all the people start to say, what about the lottery? You know, all these are all that whole mahala that, you know, with the codes and all that stuff. So you can shake a person up with that stuff. You could shake a person up, but to sustain Emunah, it doesn't sustain Emunah. It doesn't sustain Emunah. That's why in those lectures, obviously, there are other discussions that have to take place. That's like fancy stuff, and that gets a person, whoa, that opens the person's eyes, so now their heart cracks a little bit, so maybe some good stuff can go in. But then you have to talk about Torah Shabbat Peh, and you have to speak about Kabbalah's Ol, and you have to talk about Yerushalayim and Ahavas Hashem, and so on, as they do. Right, but when you have to know that ultimately what a Jew is looking for is Dveikus to Hashem. He's looking for attachment to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I was just I was just showing something to my wife before I came, that it was the Baal Tanya's website, Chof Dalet. So there was some Talmidim that they were sitting with the Alter Rebbe, some Chassidim, and they were learning a deep maimer in the Indian of Tchias Emesim, of the resurrection of the dead. They were learning a deep maimer. And one of the Chassidim said, "But Rabbi, I don't see that it's such a big chiddush Tchias Emesim. I don't think it's such a big deal Tchias Emesim. Why? Because he said, is there anything that is as cold and as lifeless as a piece of flesh inside the skull that's called the brain? And every single minute, Rabbi, when you talk to us, you teach us Torah, you're taking this dead piece of meat and you're mamish reviving it. You're bringing it back to life. You're giving it life. Every single second that you learn with us, you're giving us life. You're taking something which isn't alive and you're filling it with vitality, with life. That's Tchias HaMeisim. That's Tchias HaMeisim. The emes is with Jews, and I've been doing, for many, many years, and I've seen this so many times, that you can talk about reasons for keeping mitzvahs, and you could rationalize, and you could explain, and it's all good. It's all good. But the ultimate pneumistic reason for a person to keep Torah mitzvahs is not bedarchet, it's not a pitar, it's not a pisaych. It's not a pisaych. And it can't work a pisaych.
So the short answer to the guy who says it doesn't affect me is it does.
Yeah. And that's why it's possible that a person has a hergel in tefillah, as a hergel in kima mitzvahs, that somehow brings a person to a clarity that he might not have had even while he was attending the seminar and while somebody was explaining something to him. Where you could have a simple Jew, you could have a poshut yid, a simple Jew who might not understand the ins and outs of he might not understand, he doesn't know any codes. Our grandparents didn't know any codes. They didn't know and they didn't need it. I'm not saying it's not necessary. Now I guess you need it for certain people to excite them, to get interested. You have to bring from the outside different things. What scares me is I think that there are certain Jewish teachers who see this stuff as being as being a tachlis, which in my mind, b'koishi, it's a means to get to the tachlis. But b'koishi, I mean, I myself don't do it, but b'koishi, it's a means to get to the tachlis, but it's not the tachlis. It's not the tachlis. Pnimius etar is the tachlis. When you learn Pnimius etar, then it connects very deeply to the Pnimius of who that person is. So, let's go weiter. So he says, Ki HaTorah, left the next page. Ki HaTorah, he say the Sichli, Asher Roy Ladav Meshu HaAdam. That's, look at footnote 34. Perish, HaTorah, he has say the HaHolam as HaAdam, Yitzad Mahuso KaAdam. Since man was created from the Torah, and not that there's a man and now the Torah has to serve his needs, but the Torah was created and the man was created from the Torah, therefore it's only through Torah, it's only possible through Torah, that the mahus, that the deepest essence of man, should be dealt with, should be cared for. It's only possible. V'lekach ein zeh mishanah im ha'adam meivin olam meivin is mitzvos ha'Torah. Therefore, ultimately, it really doesn't make a difference whether you understand or you don't understand the mitzvah. It's very nice, but it really doesn't make a difference. Ki belav hachi, ha'atamish shal mitzvah satar la'adam, hi be'etzem. Because whether you understand it or not, regardless of whether you understand it or not, the mitzvah satar are who you are. It's like, what do you mean, if I don't understand how my digestive system works, then I won't be able to digest? That's who I am. I don't know what's going on inside of there. You want to understand. It's good to understand. But, if I think about it too much, I might lose my appetite. But the emphasis is that my understanding, my digestive system, doesn't affect how I digest things, ki hu zeh. My understanding, the mitzvah, does not affect the impact that the mitzvah makes upon my life. V'lo hatluya klal b'havanoso. It doesn't depend upon your havana. Man doesn't even understand his own mahus. He doesn't understand his own mahus. Back on top. V'ayidei ha-mitzviz davik v'sichli. This is what's happening. That when you're observing mitzvahs, you become attached to this seder ha-sichli. V'ayidei zeh davik v'yizbaruch v'zeh d'chsiv. Zoyiz chukas ha-toyra. See, even though that's talking about the parasha of Paraduma, but really the whole Torah is a chok. Zos chukas ha-Torah. The whole Torah is something which is a chok, which means ultimately that we do, even though we don't understand. We don't even understand what's going on. Even in our lives, we understand, let alone Akash Baruch Hu's thoughts. We know that there's not even one thing that's what? That's Levatala. See that Hashem is Baruch B'chachmas of Kol Nevarim El Yonim Esachtayinim, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu made the world in such a way that every single thing has a reason. Every single thing Hakadosh Baruch Hu has here and has placed in this world has a purpose, and that purpose is to draw man closer to Him. V'chein inin hamitzvus lamahim kach v'vada yadanu shekach noisna seder shesida Hashem is Baruch B'Torah v'kach mischayev mimenu. That it must be because that's what the Torah tells us. Ulekach ein lishal al tam amitzus lamahem kach. You don't ask why is it like this. Ki kach gozer Hashem isbarach hased lefi chachmosov ein dov erchel batola v'kach chokach Hashem isbarach v'adam ha'isa v'ashomer hased azeh asher sida Hashem isbarach. And the human being who keeps this seder that Hashem has established, meaning the guy has his seven mitzvahs and the Jew has his 613 with all the others, the rabbanim and so on, dov azeh tziru v'zikuch va'ayvel amitzvus who yoytum ha'seder ha'sichli, then he is going out of that seder ha'sichli shesidah Hashem isbarach v'kol asher yoytum ha'seder mevi lo zeh ibur ha'nefesh l'gamrei, that ultimately causes a hefsed and a destruction for the person. As I said, in effect what's happening is you're dropping dead even though you don't see it, but that's an ibud l'nefesh. The soul is dropping dead. Something is malfunctioning as a result of your doing that. let's finish the paragraph. Even though footnote 40, if you have a chance, is definitely very, very kedai to see footnote 40, but it's going a little bit away from what we need to do right now, and we have to move on to the next paragraph. So let's go weiter. Ulefichach, therefore, kol mishanoisin b'mitzvus tam al piyateva, anybody who tries to explain the mitzvahs by using natural explanations or scientific explanations, that's what Torah says chazer is not allowed. It creates this negative qualities in a person, which is what the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim. And we learn that's true that chazer does have a negative effect upon a person. That's true, but that's not, again, we're not going to go over this, but that's not why you don't eat chazer. It's because Hashem said you can't eat chazer, that if you eat it, it has a negative effect upon you. Not because there's something in the material that's called pig. There's something in the genes, something that's in the chemical, something that's in the cell of a pig that damages you. What's damaging you is, like I was trying to tell that kid in NYU, what's damaging you is your detachment from God. And since God told you don't eat this thing, then by eating it, that damages you. And it could even damage you, it could even be mishtalshel to the point that it damages you even in this world. Even here in this physical world. Same thing when it comes to eating the forbidden fats. When it comes to blood also, it makes you into more of a violent person, it's true. All of these explanations are piteva. To think, God forbid, that what? To say that, God forbid, the Torah is a book of refuos, of medicine, of aitzis. God forbid. We spoke about this already. That we spoke about this, that when we came to Eretz Yisrael, we were allowed to eat chazer, right? During the time of the kibbush, we were allowed to eat chazer, we were allowed to eat pig. So if you're going to say, what the moral is saying, if there's something that's inherently destructive in a piece of pig, then you would think that since we're eating pig, we should have all turned into mamish chazer. We should have become pig-like. So how come it didn't happen to us? Because the Torah says, it's not the pig that's maimis, it's the Dvar Hashem, it's the Issa that's maimis. It's that the Baruch Shalom said you can't have chazer. And when the Baruch Shalom says now you can have it, then since the Torah now permits it, the Torah permits it, mimela, it doesn't have, it's not mishtalshel into the body in a negative way. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rav, yeah. If you would come to tell me that the reason you can't eat chaz, like the Rambam says, is because it has this impact upon you, then what? Then her isla hechen holach. Then whatever happened to the disease and sickness and emotional problems that's supposed to come when you eat pig? Same thing when it comes to ben pakua. Lama chel boy mutter. How come the chelav of ben pakua is allowed? Right? If the ben pakua, the yeshach, the mother, and the kids inside, the baby's inside. We don't have time to go into this halachas right now. But a ben pakua over there, there's no problem. The chelav, because why? Because it's ubi yerachimai. Because the din is that we look at this fetus as being, we look at the baby, at the calf as being what? An aver, like it's just a limb, an extension of the mother. So how can you do that? So your mom is eating a piece of chelav. It's a ben pakua. So you're shechting, you have a ben pakua. It's a piece of chelav mamish. If the baby would have been mighty rush, if it would have come out, that then it would need shechita, right? And then it would not have been mutter agavima. It wouldn't be mutter because of the shechita of the mother. And here I caught it by 1 second. So now I shechted it 1 second earlier. So now I have this ben pakua, and I eat the chelav of ben pakua. So it should make me into a lunatic. It should mess me up. Chalal not. Because it's not the chelav per se. Lama chelav mutuk at Yisa, beperik, in anosha. Ma tam is evachain, ma sa shchita shlo nizachs. If the Yisa of shchita, in other words, if we have to shecht in order we shouldn't become cruel, lama tira tira ben pekur below shchita. Yeah, you're allowed to have a ben pekur even though you don't shecht it. The baby comes out, the little calf comes out screaming and kicking and yelling. You don't have to shecht it. Lekach, ein roi lama kach. Vaaf omnam ki emesu, he called other yesh beh mezeg ras taka true. That they do have negative qualities, these animals or whatever, the chayl of the dam. But obviously, yimoshech bevada meshayesh behem shinui ragamke. The reason, the Maral says, is this is what we explain. The reason is because of the iser. Because of the iser, that iser is moshech, because what's an iser? Every iser is a shinui. It means it's a distortion of the truth. It's a distortion of the mitzias. And whenever there's a distortion of the mitzias, it can cause all kinds of problems, emotional and physical problems. Whenever there's a distortion, you have even Baha'i Alma, even in this world, if a person's aggravated enough, it affects the way it affects his stomach. It gives him a headache. He has a lot of stress. He gets a headache. So it's mishtalshel into the body. It began with something that wasn't part of this world. It's not a physical thing. The guy's nervous. Like Rabbi Nachman said, a very difficult thing. Rabbi Nachman says that you see that a person, even if he's sitting still, but if his mind rushes, he begins to perspire, he gets hot. It's a paladic thing. You're not moving at all. You could be sitting on top of a mountain, it's 20 below. and like you saw the guy that was like had the rope and all your equipment just go away in a helicopter, and you'd be surprised that you start to get warm around the collar. How could that be? It's 20 below, and you're starting to sweat. It's starting to sweat. Or like when someone hands out an exam, it could be cold in the room. When you look at that and you don't know one answer, it's amazing. All of a sudden you get hot. And you're not moving anywhere. No, if it's mutter, then it does not have the negative
impact. The fact that he's got a chazer, we know chazer is bad for you, and we know that you know the mindset. So it affected the nature of it.
It doesn't affect the biological, anatomical nature of the pig. There's no effect of the meat. It's the issa that affects you. Yeah, it's more than a mezagra, as long as it's also. But once it's not also, then it. For instance, if a person, let's say a person's, this is a big question that you have in the chakras. You have another one I'm talking about in the Rabbi Yosef Engel. Let's say a person says, no, this, all right, he's a chayla nabuch, he's a chayla, he has to eat something that's chazer, right? He's an honest. So is that going to be moilet a mezagra? If a person's an honest and he has to eat a piece of chazer, the doctor said that you're going to die unless you have a piece of chazer. Is that moilet a mezagra? If he's an honest? I mean, it's totally a little bit in the hakir of what einus means. But without getting into that, how you would say no. Because if the Shulchan Aruch says that I'm allowed to have this chazer, same way, the Shulchan Aruch try to convince a Jew who's been fasting his whole life that now the Torah says you have to eat on Yom Kippur. Right? Tell him the Torah says you have to eat on Yom Kippur. No. The Torah says that until you bring until you get like Reb Chaim Eisen to tell him to do it, he won't do it. Because the Torah, you tell him, but the Torah says, my friend, Reb Yid, you have to eat today. It's today's Yom Kippur, I don't eat on Yom Kippur. The same Torah that says he shouldn't eat Yom Kippur says this. And if this person dies, like the Rambam says, la'alocha. And if he dies because he refuses to eat, then he should know that what? That was a rishus. It was an aveira. He was ma'abed asma das. It was suicide. And here he thinks he's going straight to heaven. I fasted. To the point of death. No. Why? So when this Jew eats on Yom Kippur, he can make a l'shem yichud. I'm mekayim the mitzvah of v'chayibahem. Again, it's totally on the definition of onus. I'm not going to right now. That's the first siman in Chalkas Yoyev. But the mitzvahs of that mezeg ra that the Rambam that the Maral agrees exists. That's a mitzvah that comes as a result of the isra of the head. Of the issue of the head. That's what he's explaining. Look at footnote, let's just read a little bit more. Just another 2 minutes. Until 53. Because Hashem said, you can't eat these things, that's why it has that effect. Sometimes the Torah says, you can't eat this thing. Now you can't eat it. The guy is, God forbid, sick, he has to eat Yom Kippur, you eat it. Let's just for a second, I wanted to just look at 53, because this is what we were talking about last week, and here's from Reb Chaim Brisker, and we'll end with this. Reb Chaim Brisker is like this. The Tzarev Lakan is Divya Agon Reb Chaim Brisker, you do him. Shekosav, he ne onu roam chukia tayra, eich shehe matimim lahan hagas oilam. Kamar lo sirtzach lo signov. So you see that the world understands. You can't have a civilization, you can't have a society where people are going to be murdering and stealing. People are going to steal, and they're going to murder, it's going to destroy the world. You can't have a hefker. And we see that there are certain things that you can't eat them, and they're unhealthy. So you would say, again, like the Rambam, you would have this way of looking at things, this is what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, that because what? That since Ritzich and Geneva bring Churban to the world, right? They bring destruction to the world, the Chadayme. So you would say, V'lochein Osra HaTorah Reb Chaim says, Lassus Kain. So since the Rebbein Shalom doesn't want the world to be destroyed, he said, don't kill and don't steal. Avla Emesula Hepech. Yeah, Reb Chaim says, this is what we're talking about. It's just the opposite. As Reb Chaim says, Emesula Hepech. Shemitzad Han Hagas Oilam Hayyachalias Hepech. Shemitzichu Geneva Hem Yukiyam Oilam. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have made a world where the way to preserve and sustain the world would be by stealing and murdering. You could have made a world like that. Remember we spoke about this? That it's not because I have parents that God says, you know, they're so nice to you, so you should be nice to them. They brought you up, you should take care of them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Torah created such a Messias as parents. The Rebbeinu Shlom created such a Messias as a mitzvah that's called Kibud Av V'Em, right? There's a mitzvah that's called Kibud Av V'Em, and therefore he gave us parents, so we should be kind of that mitzvah. Not, you have parents, you should be nice to them. No, you have a mitzvah, now you need parents, so you can be kind of the mitzvah. The reason that Geneva and Ritzicha, that stealing and murdering destroys the world, is because it says in the Torah that it's forbidden, and it will bring a churban. But if the Torah wouldn't say that, then it wouldn't bring a Churban. It wouldn't bring a Churban to the world. It would build the world. So someone says, what do you mean, killing Amalek? Right? Whenever you go like among secular people, if they heard of this mitzvah, so you have to get, that's like an hour talk, at least, right? Or you, a lot of times with kids, even the yeshivas. What about Amalek? What about killing Amalek? You mean to tell me you're going to kill some baby that's a Amalek baby? What did that baby do? You know, this discussion. So l'chayre, you would say, based upon your seichel, if you're thinking not like the Maharal, it's very hard to explain. Killing a little baby of a Amalek, it's very hard to explain to someone. Because in the secular mind, the whole reason that I don't kill is because it's not nice. And if people kill, then the world will get, there'll be a churban in the world. Therefore, this little baby also shouldn't be killed. So that if you start answering like, well, that baby is going to grow up to be like, you know, is going to grow up to be Hitler. So then, any intelligent person can argue with that, you know, that's ridiculous. It's obviously not something which is al pi teva. It's the Rebbeinu Shlom said that murdering is aser, and therefore, Anytime it's aser and you do it, it causes a churban. But when you murder a person from Amalek, not only is it not a churban, but it's the tikkun ha'olam. It's the tikkun ha'olam. Now I don't know if I'd be able. You have to be in a big madrigal to do that. You know, you see a little baby and you go to the mikveh and you say l'shem yichud, and you go and you kill the baby. So far, it's poshut. It's hard to believe. It's hard to imagine such a man. But to tell a person because you're going to little amalekim go to big amalekim, it doesn't go over well. It doesn't go over so well.
That's the message from Yishmael. That's the message from Yishmael, but it doesn't matter who it is.
What do you mean?
Behind the
Yishmael. Oh, behind the Yishmael. That's right. So you see that when it comes to Amalek, that all of a sudden, Ritzich is not bad. A kid, Ritzich is the best thing in the world. It's a very creative act. Murdering becomes something which is beneficial to the world. Because it's the Dvar Hashem. It's not the mitzvah, it's the Dvar Hashem.
Rabbi, as I've said many times, we're not on the Madrega to understand even what we think we understand from the Maharal, and especially when the Maharal seems to be saying over sometimes 2, 3, 4 times with barely a word different in each repetition, we're not zeicha to understand the oimik of why the Maharal is saying it that way, with that slight difference, with that word or two that's different. It's very hard for us to understand. So we're going to skip now the rest of the end of Perchas, where the Maharal really seems to us to be chazing with Kemat the same words, and we'll move ahead. Mitzvah Shem, we're going to move ahead now to Perchas.